Good morning. Please be seated. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. Hope that you had a great holiday season. Hope that Santa was good to you. I know he was to Eric. You know, we asked Eric, what do you want Santa to bring you this Christmas? And for the longest time, we tried to get him to maybe toys of some sort. He kept on saying all he wanted was cake. Not just any kind of cake. He wanted a red cake with orange, with green, with all these different colors. So, you know, when he woke up in the morning, Christmas morning, Santa brought him some cake. So he was happy having cake for early morning breakfast. But overall, it was he enjoyed himself over the holidays. We got back a couple days ago from seeing family in Toronto. So we got back safe and sound. You know, it's interesting. The last time we saw you guys, well, many of you was on the 21st. And so we thought, okay, you know what? Now it's time to unwind, time to get ready for the holidays. And so what happened was the next day, we're at home and we're like, wow, our home it's very cold. And we're like, oh, the heat's not kicking in. So we're thinking, okay, you know what? Usually around this time, it's time for a new furnace. So we thought, I hope that's not what we're going to be having to buy. What I'm buying Karen, what Karen's buying me is a new furnace. So hopefully it worked out. It was only a lamp light that needed to be kicked on. And so the repairman came. It was fantastic. So we're like, you know what? Great. We don't have to get a new furnace. So all is good. So then our alarm system for our home went. So the alarm guy came in and we're like, okay, you know what? Let's get it prepared before we jump in the car on Christmas Day. So they came and they hooked up our new alarm system. So we're like, okay, you know, great. Now we're ready to jump in the car and head to Toronto. Get to Toronto. In Toronto on Boxing Day, we received about 10 phone calls from the fire motion, not the motion detector. Our fire alarm was going off. And so the fire department sent fire trucks 3 times to our home. We're not footing the bill. Our home system is. Then a burglar alarm went off. They said 10 times. So when all said and done, I had to leave Toronto, come back, while Karen and Eric stayed with family, have the repairman come, then drive back. But all said and done, our alarm system's working fine. Our furnace is working fine. So all is good for 2015. By the way, thanks for coming by my house, Francis, to check out, make sure our house was actually not on fire. Which was good. He helped me out and he came. But all is good. So I hope that, I'm not sure how your holidays were. Maybe you were able to have a little bit of ups and downs. Maybe there was a great time. Maybe some challenges happened. But regardless, hope you had at least some good time over the holidays. And I'm looking forward to 2015. Well, I do hope that 2015 is a great year for each and every one of you here today. And I do hope that some amazing things happen in your life, maybe some personal dreams, personal goals you have, but maybe some spiritual goals you have that you want to see happen in 2015. I really hope and pray that you do achieve those different things that you set out for yourself. And I also pray that collectively as a church, that we will see things collectively, some amazing things happen collectively as well as a church. You know, the title of the lesson today and our theme for the year is from Matthew chapter 9. It is, according to your faith, will it be done to you? Actually, Matthew chapter 9. According to your faith, will it be done to you? And I do hope that wherever we're at here today, however we finished 2015, I do hope that our faith in 2015 will become stronger, that we will be more faithful than we are today, that our faith will be stronger finishing the year 2015, that whatever it is that comes our way in 2015, that we will be men and women of faith. According to your faith, you know, that kind of makes it more individual for each and every one of us. That regardless of what's happening around us, according to our own individual faith, will it be done to us? You know, as we begin the year and as we continue our lesson, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for this time that we can be together. God, we thank you so much for the many different lessons that we've learned in 2014. Father, thank you so much for being with us, God, through the good times and the bad times. And Father, we thank you so much that we can begin this year, Father, knowing confidently that you will be with us. That Father, whatever it is that is thrown our way, Father, we know that you are right there by our side to comfort us, to encourage us, to help us to grow stronger in our faith. And Father, it is my prayer that as we gather here today, as we open your word, that Father, as we take some time together to encourage one another, that Father, we'll leave our time here today making decisions to grow stronger in our faith, and that Father, we will wait in expectation to see the many ways that God, you work in our lives to bless our faith, to strengthen our faith, so that Father, we can bring glory to you. Father, thank you so much for this time that we'll be here again today. Father, I pray that your spirit will work powerfully through me, Father, as we study your word, so that Father, we can be able to grow in our faith, so that we can glorify you. Father, we thank you. We pray that you bless our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. You know, it helps us understand, you know, what faith is. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is what faith is. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, faith is a distinguishing mark of a Christian. Because it is absolutely impossible to please God without faith. And that's why it's important as disciples that we live our lives by faith. That we're certain of what we hope for. That we do not doubt, but there's a certainty, there's a confidence in which we have, knowing that, you know what, I'm certain of what it is that I hope for. And that we live our lives by faith because it is impossible to please God without it. In Matthew chapter 9, if you turn there, you know, we see here these two blind men. And we see that there are different lessons that we can learn from them. In Matthew chapter 9, begin reading in verse 27. It says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him, and he asked him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And their sight was restored. You know, again, the title of today's lesson is right here, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And we see here these two blind men follow Jesus. And they call out, have mercy on us. And we see that Jesus then goes indoors. But these blind men do not give up. They still persist. And they follow Jesus indoors. And Jesus asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And their answer was, yes. You know, I believe Jesus knew what their answer was going to be. And Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you. And then we see that their sight was restored. Then we see that something amazing happened in their life because they approached Jesus with faith. You know, I have 2 points for us to ponder, think about here today. It's point number one, for us to have an authentic faith. For us to have an authentic faith that goes beyond just simply a belief. You know, these men believed that Jesus could heal them. But we do see that their belief was shown in their actions. That Jesus went indoors, and you know, they didn't stop there, that they then followed Jesus indoors. And these men are blind. And we see that God blessed their faith. These men didn't have their sight. But one thing we do know is that they had faith. And they didn't allow their blindness to stop them from believing. You know, these blind men, because of, for whatever reason, they were blind, they could have used that as a time to be bitter, a time to doubt the work of God. But yet they still had faith, regardless of their circumstances, to still seek out Jesus so that they can be healed. That their blindness didn't stop them from believing. That their faith was in Jesus, and they believed that Jesus could heal them. You know, this morning I want you to ask yourself, you know, where is your personal faith at today? You know, when you think about 2014, you know, how did you start 2014 last year? How did you finish 2014 last year? And as we're 4 days into the new year, you know, where is your faith at this morning? You know, faith is the confidence that God is who He says He is, and will do what He says He will do, and doing what we need to do. That's what faith is. The confidence that God is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He will do, and doing what we need to do. See, faith must be accompanied by action. Where it's not just about believing, that faith must be accompanied by action. You know, turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. You know, that is what authentic faith is. It's not just simply believing, but it is a belief that is accompanied by action. And we see here in James chapter 2, it talks about having faith and having deeds. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, you know, the Bible says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture will fulfill that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.' And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone." You know, we learn many things when we look at this text. We learn that faith is something that you do. It's a belief, but it's followed by actions. Because Abraham's faith was made complete, not just by simply believing, was made complete by what he did. So we see that faith is something that is you do, that it's tangible. You know, we know that faith is not just something that you say. Because it's very easy to say, you know, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed. But faith must be accompanied by action and not just be a matter of talk. You know, faith cannot just be something that we feel. Because we can feel an emotion, we can feel a warm sentiment and go, you know what, I really wish you well. I really wish you keep warm and well fed and really mean it. But it could be just an emotion rather than it being an act of faith. But faith is not just something, as I mentioned, that you believe, or something you think. Because for many, faith is just left as something that's intellectual, something that's discussed, debated. Faith is not just something you believe, because it says that the demons believe that there's one God. But it must be where we follow whatever God expects of us. Faith is demonstrated in action. Authentic faith is not just something that we feel, something that we say, something that we think or feel, but something that we do. You know, the two blind men that approached Jesus, you know, they had authentic faith because they believed that Jesus could heal them. But we see here that it was evident they believed through their actions in seeking out Jesus. Their faith was proved authentic by what they did. You know, we think about today, as we think about how important it is for us to believe, you know, God can do amazing things in each and one of our lives in 2015. Absolutely believe it. 2015 can be, for each and every one of us, our best year ever. But we got to believe that God can do what He is capable of doing and really be confident in the power of God. But you know what? It doesn't just stop there. Because I've heard someone ask me one time and say, yes, but what happens? Because at times, just like the blind man, they went and asked to be healed and they were healed. But sometimes people ask for certain people to be healed or certain, maybe a loved one or some situation. But you know what? I want this to happen. But you know what? The absolute opposite happens. You know, it's what I explained to them, because that's how it was explained to me, was authentic faith is one believing that God can do what He says He can do. But authentic faith also gives God the option to say no. That authentic faith also gives God the option to say no. Because we can believe God can do a lot of things. But it's also, you know, to believe, you know, God can do this, but you know what? But He might say no. And that, when He says no, that tests our faith. To prove our faith is genuine. So what happens after something we really want, we pray about, where we really want this in our life, and then we don't get it? We pray for someone to be healed, and it doesn't work the way that we want it to, things to work out. But authentic faith is believing that God can do what He wants, but it's authentic faith is trusting in the nature and character of God, to believe that God, if He says no, He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for you. And it's trusting God, because sometimes, you know, we believe we know what's best for us, when really, to be honest, we don't. God knows what's best for us. And sometimes God may say, you know what? No, because this is not part of my plan. Or He might say, like with the blind man, you know what? Not answer immediately. Where these blind men, they didn't get their answer immediately. They had to go indoors to pursue Jesus again. Sometimes the answer may be no. Sometimes the answer may be not yet. But it's for us to make sure that we have the authentic faith. So when it's not yet, to still persist. When God makes it no, to trust that, you know what? God knows what's best. I may not be happy about the end result or what happened. But you know what? I'm still going to trust Him. I'm still going to give my heart to serving Him, because you know what? God's still a God of love. He's still a God who knows what's best for me, and I still need to put my trust in Him. That is not something that's easy. That is something that we can wrestle with, we can struggle with, but it's something that's important for us to believe, to have the authentic faith to go, you know what? I need to believe that, you know what? God can do amazing things, but I also need to trust that God knows what's best for me. You know, that is what authentic faith is all about. So my challenge for you to have an authentic faith. And my second challenge is to have an audacious faith. An audacious faith. You know, what is it? It means to be daring, to be bold, to be unafraid, to be fearless, where we have an audacious faith. You may say, well, why don't we just call it, have a bold faith instead of audacious faith? I thought I'd keep my points where, you know, hey, authentic starts with A, so audacious starts with A. You have to have a bold faith, and where a faith that's, you know, you're unafraid, fearless, and you're brave. You know, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. You know, that's what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life is all about adventure, excitement. It's about taking risks, trying new things, new ideas, new experiences. The Christian faith should not be static. The Christian life is dynamic. But sometimes life can become static simply because we're not living by faith. And in Matthew chapter 14, begin reading in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. While the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. You know, you can read on to see that, you know, Peter started to doubt, started to sink, but Jesus caught him. But the one thing we see about Peter, you know, he was not someone who was afraid to take risks. He was not afraid to step out of the boat. Where the other disciples were nice and comfortable in their boat. Well, Peter was not afraid to step out of the boat because Jesus, where was Jesus? Jesus was out on the water, having the time of his life. And so Peter wanted to go and be wherever Jesus was. And that was out on the water. And while the disciples were in the boat, Jesus was out there walking on the water. And for a moment, Peter was able to experience something that the other disciples did not experience. For that moment, being able to walk on water. You know, that is something where he and Jesus can talk about, you know what? We walked on the water. But Jesus, I know you walked on the water longer than me, but hey, you know what? For that short moment, I was also walking on the water. But Peter was not afraid to get out of the boat. And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water, and he experienced something amazing. Simply because he had an audacious faith that was willing to step out of the boat, take a risk to be where Jesus was. And I do believe God wants us to experience his power, his presence, and wants us to take a step out on faith. But to be bold, to be unafraid, to be fearless, but to step out and have an audacious faith so that we too can experience something great in our life. You know, I'm not sure if anyone here knows what an Africa Impala is. Does anyone know what an Africa Impala is? Okay. Owen. Okay. That's very close. Very good. Well, impalas are medium-sized antelopes, and they're found in eastern and southern Africa. And I'll give you some facts about them. They range, it says, from 30 to 36 inches tall. So about 3 feet tall. Approximately 88 to 165 pounds. You know, they gather in large herds, and herds often serve as protection from predators. And so an alert impala will bark out an alarm that puts all the other impalas in flight. And a fleeing impala is no easy prey. You know, the impala is known for its long, spiral horns, which males use to challenge each other in tests of strength. Even the impalas do it. The impalas are able to leap up to 33 feet. And they could use this technique to escape predators, and sometimes apparently simply to amuse themselves. So their leap is 33 feet they can leap. But also, they can also soar 10 feet in the air. 10 feet in the air. Like, more than LeBron James, more than any basketball player, where they can soar 10 feet and leap 33 feet. That they're strong, they're fast, and they can jump these great heights. But they can be enclosed in a zoo that's 3 feet tall. Like this impala that can, again, soar 10 feet tall, 10 feet, and leap 33 feet, they could be enclosed in a space at a zoo that's only 3 feet tall. Now, you can keep them confined behind a 3-foot wall because they are not going to jump if they do not see where they're going to land. That they're not going to jump if they cannot see where they're going to land. Yeah, they can jump 10 feet. They can jump 33 feet distance. But you can confine them to a 3-foot wall. Simply because if they don't see where they're going to land, they're just not going to jump. You know, you think about that, that helps us to kind of see when we think about faith. Is that sometimes, very similar, we can be confined in terms of in our own faith. We can be confined by what we see or what we don't see. Maybe by how we think. Maybe by we have small thinking. Maybe by fear that if I jump out and take a risk, you know, I might fall down. Or maybe at times simply just because of comfort. You know, when we think about these different men who are sitting in the boat, you know, Peter decided, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to go out on the water. And I do believe God asked for ordinary people to put their trust in him, to step out on faith so that we can see and do something great. But sometimes we don't step out because we're afraid of how we might land. We might not step out because we're afraid that we might fall. But my challenge to each and one of us in 2015 is to be someone who has an audacious faith. Someone who does not live confined. Someone who does not live comfort. Someone who does not live in terms of confined by small thinking. But we step out believing that we worship and serve a great God, and for us to step out and do something that is uncomfortable for us. Because when we have an audacious faith, there's nothing comfortable about it. And for us to challenge ourselves, not to confine ourselves, but to get out of our comfort zone and to be someone who takes risks. To be someone who has a bold, audacious faith. Where we don't live by sight, but where we live by faith. That we don't give in to fear, but where we live by sight. And at different times, we can give in to fear in many different ways. We can give in to fear by, you know, maybe not being open about things that are really going on in our life for fear. But my challenge is to step out in faith and do what we know to do what is right. Maybe for some here, it's to commit to being a disciple is the challenge for you. Where you take that risk, that faith, to go, you know what, I'm going to be a disciple in 2015. Regardless of what my friends think of me. But I'm going to have an audacious faith to believe that whatever I go through in life, whatever people think, God is going to be with me. To not live in fear of failure. So many people do not step out of the boat because they're afraid that they're going to fail. But you know what? When we step out, at least we can say that we stepped out. And if we fail, at least we failed knowing that I did something to step out of the boat. Maybe for many it's to, you know what, I'm going to be having audacious faith and I'm going to share that faith more with my coworkers, my friends, have more spiritual conversations, but have a faith, an audacious faith that refuses to be silent. But to make 2015 a year where we do not confine our faith, but we let God use our faith, but it takes stepping out. Having audacious faith and allowing God to bless that faith. You know, what we see happen in 2015 will be according to our faith. You know, my hope and prayer is that by the end of 2015, your faith is stronger than how it is today. And I hope you have that goal for yourself as well. That by 2015, that whatever happens in 2015, that you are going to be a man and woman who lives by faith and finishes the year having a stronger faith than when you went into 2015. You know, I believe that we are not just to believe God can do great things in our life, but we are to act, to have an authentic faith. Not just believe, but to have a belief that's demonstrated in what we do and how we live our life. To believe God is a great God and that God is calling us to do something great with our life. For us to have an audacious faith, to step up, step out, and let God take us in 2015 to places that we've never been before in our faith. So according to our faith, will it be done to you? Let's have an authentic faith, let's have an audacious faith, and God will bless us to His glory. Amen.